Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Sarasatim Vyasam. Tato Jayamudirayet. Tam jugupsita karmanam. Tam jugupsita karmanam. Nishamsam nirapatrapam. Nishamsam nirapatrapam. Vasudevo Mahabhaga. Vasudevo Mahabhaga. Uvacha Parisantayan. Uvacha Parisantayan. Tam Jugupsita Karmanam. Nishamsam Nirapatrapam. Vasudevo Mahabhaga. Uvacha Parisantayan. Tam Jugupsita Karmanam. Tantra Gupsita Karmanam. Sam Nirapatrapam. Vasudeva Mahabhaga. Anybody else? Ladies? Tantra Gupsita Karmanam. Nirshamsam nirapatrapam. Vasudeva Mahabhaga. Urvacha parisantayan. Tam jugupsita karmanam. Nishamsam nirapatrapam. Vasudeva Mahabhaga. Tam, unto him, Kamsa, Jugupsita Karmanam, who was ready to commit such an offensive act. Nishamsam, very cruel. Nirapatrapam, shameless. Vasudeva, Vasudev, Mahabhaga, the greatly fortunate father of Vasudev. Uvacha said, Parisantayan, pacifying. Translation purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Wanting to pacify Kamsa, who was so cruel and envious that he was shamelessly ready to kill his sister, the great soul Vasudeva, who was to be the father of Krishna, spoke to him in the following words. Please repeat. Wanting to pacify Kamsa, who was so cruel and envious that he was shamelessly ready to kill his sister, the great soul Vasudeva, who was to be the father of Krishna, spoke to him in the following words. Vasudeva was to be the father of Krishna. Vasudeva, who was to be the father of Krishna, is described here as Mahabhaga. a very upright and sober personality, because although Kamsa was ready to kill Vasudeva's wife, Vasudeva remained sober and unagitated. In a peaceful attitude, Vasudeva began to address Kamsa by putting forward reasonable arguments. Vasudeva was a great personality because he knew how to pacify a cruel person and how to forgive even the bitterest enemy. One who is fortunate is never caught, even by tigers or snakes. Om agyanatim erandasya gyananjana salakaya chaksurin militam jena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manobhishtam stapitam yena bhutale svayam rupa kadamayam dadati svapadantikam nama om vishnu padaya krishna prasthaya bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharne Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Dushitarne Vanchakalpa Trubhischa Kripa Sindhibhavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnabhebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivas Adi Gaur Bhaktarinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Wanting to pacify Kamsa, who was so cruel and envious that he was shamelessly ready to kill his sister, the great soul Vasudeva, who was to be the father of Krishna, spoke to him in the following words. So here are the comparison is given here. We have two personalities, Kamsa and Vasudeva. We can see in the 16th chapter? Thank you. Of 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Divine and Demoniac Nature, Krishna compares the two classes of persons. In the I think it's Vishnu Purana, it mentions that Vishnu Bhakta divine personalities are those who are devotees, and the demoniac are the those who are just the opposite. So here we see these two classes. Vasudeva, who was a devotee, so great devotee that he was to be the father of Krishna. And here is Kamsa, on the other hand, who was so cruel and envious that he was shamelessly ready to kill his sister. The Chanakya Pandit mentions like that the two classes of envious living entities, the snake and the envious man. And he says of the two, the envious person is more cruel than even the snake, because a snake can be charmed by some mantras. You can charm a snake by mantras, but a cruel living entity. But here, it seems to contradict that statement, because Vasudeva is preparing to pacify Kamsa. That means Vasudeva is so qualified. How is he qualified? He's a devotee. Yasyasti bhaktir bhagavati akinchana Sarvera gunas tatra samasati sara. The devotee, he's decorated with all the good qualities of the demigods. He's can do a very important quality to be found in a devotee. And of course, Vasudeva, has that quality. And so intelligent that he's able to pacify this cruel Kamsa. This is the devotee. When we were, of course, many places are there in the Vedic scriptures about the quality of the devotee, how he's so intelligent. Bahunam janmanam ante jnanavamam prapadyate. that after many, many births, that the person who is very intelligent surrenders unto Krishna. And later on in the 15th chapter, Krishna calls such a person that understands him to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna describes him as Sasarvavit. Sasarvavit bhajante mam. That he knows everything. That's also one Vedic statement, that yasmin vigyate sarvam evam vigyate bhavati. That one who has understood Krishna, Srila Prabhupada sometimes gave his own example how he was able to talk with people who promised to kill him like that. And when actually he caught him, he hesitated like that. And Krishna saw that and he said that you promised our buddy should kill him. Now you should kill this. Evam vigyate bhavati. That one who has understood Krishna, Srila Prabhupada sometimes gave his own example how he was able to talk with people promised to kill him like that. And when actually he caught him, he hesitated like that. And Krishna saw that and he said that you promised our buddy you should kill him. Now you should kill this. So in this offered him respects as the son of her teacher. In this way, how great qualities Draupadi displayed, that she was able to forgive the killer of her sons like that. So, of course, there was some discussion back and forth. Bhima, he was not in favor. Krishna had told Arjuna that he should kill him, and Bhima said that how he could not kill him. He killed these sleeping boys. But Draupadi put forward her arguments, and Yudhishthira and other personalities there, they took the side of Draupadi, that he should not be killed. So Krishna said, so now Arjuna, what are you going to do? You promised Draupadi you're going to kill him. You have to satisfy Bhima. And Draupadi on the other side says that he should be saved. And so this way, Arjuna, who's a great devotee, he displayed the keen intelligence of the devotee by simultaneously killing him and not killing him. He cut the jewel from his hair, cut his hair like that, and drove him out of camp. He had lost all of his effulgence like that by killing these children, and then they cut the jewel from his head and took away his... And then that's described that this is the punishment for a son of a friend of a brahmana, that one should deprive him of his wealth and opulence like that. He drove him from his camp. So the point is that this is the intelligence of a devotee, how intelligent a devotee is to reconcile contradictory instructions like that. Krishna told him he should be killed, and then they should not be killed. How can Brahmana, that one should deprive him of his wealth and opulence like that. He drove him from his camp. So the point is that this is the intelligence of a devotee, how intelligent a devotee is to reconcile contradictory instructions like that. Krishna told him he should be killed, and then they should not be killed. How can both be done? Sorry, the a couple weeks back, but we'll mention it again in case somebody missed it, that Govinda used to massage Lord Chaitanya every day after his noontime meal. So that was his regular service. So one time Lord Chaitanya laid down in the doorway. After he'd take his meal, he would lay down for some time. So Govinda said that, how I can massage your legs when you're lying in the doorway with your legs on the other side? And Lord Chaitanya said, I don't know, you do whatever you want. I can't move. I'm not going to move. So Govinda, he thought for a minute, and he put his cloth over Lord Chaitanya and stepped over Lord Chaitanya to get to his legs, to massage his legs. like that. So he massaged his legs, and after some time, Lord Chaitanya woke up, and he said that, oh, how are you doing on this side? He says, well, I had to cross over you to, of course, one shouldn't step over a devotee or what to speak of the Supreme Lord. That is Vaishnava etiquette. But Lord, but Govinda, he took that trouble. He took that, made that so-called offense by stepping over Lord Chaitanya in order to perform his service. Then Lord Chaitanya said, but why you didn't, your meal is sitting there, you haven't taken your meal. After massaging me, you're supposed to take your meal. Govinda said, no, for serving you, for massaging you, I could step over you, but for my own meal, for taking my meal, I couldn't step over you back again. So that way, Govinda showed that for the service of the Lord, one can do. Of course, that famous example is there also of the gopis that one time Narad Muni saw Krishna in some kind of condition that Krishna said that he had a headache and that he needed the dust from the feet of the devotees. So the gopis, they were ready to give dust from their feet in order to cure the Lord's headache, even though Narad Muni cautioned them, oh, you'll go to hell if you give dust for Krishna's, dust from your feet for Krishna's head. He says, we're ready to go to hell. So this way, devotees are prepared and to do anything for the service of the Lord. Of course, that should be done under the guidance of the spiritual master, not that whimsically one can make his own decisions to contradict some regulations or like that. And as far as forgiveness, there's also one other very nice story that we, in the Hitopadesh, that highlights this quality, that there was one time a traveler who was walking in the forest, and he saw one tiger there with, sitting in meditation like that. And the tiger had one golden bangle, and he offered this traveler this golden bangle. And the traveler said, how I can take from a tiger a golden bangle? Is some kind of bait just to kill me like that? So the tiger said, no, I've taken some instruction, I've taken sannyas, and I've taken some instruction from great souls, and now I'm practicing religious life. And he says that the tiger gave some very interesting examples there. He says that there are eight principles of religion: sacrifice, charity, austerity, and study of the Vedas. These can be performed by even demoniac persons like that. And actually we see in the history of the, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, like that, personalities like Ravana and Hiranyakasipu, what to speak of the austerities performed by Hiranyakasipu were exemplary, with beyond any comparison in this world. And Jarasandha, he was very famous for giving in charity. That's why they, Krishna, Arjuna, and Bhima, they went to him and asked him for charity, because he was so famous for giving in charity. And like that. So these four activities, which are found, of course, also in, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, that yajna, dana, tapas, karma, that the pavanani minishinam, that these activities purify even the great souls, sacrifice, charity, and austerities like that. So they're performed by both classes of men. But then the tiger said that truthfulness, patience, forgiveness, and freedom from greed, these cannot be imitated very long by demoniac personalities. And I practice these. At least he said like that. I think it was an example of breaking the truthfulness, because, of course, the story goes that the tiger actually ate the traveler. So, but he gave the example that satyam, that truthfulness, patience, forgiveness, and freedom from greed, these qualities, they can't be imitated very long by those who are demoniac. So this forgiveness is truthfulness, patience. Our Vasudev, he's, Srila Prabhupada points out how he's ready to forgive even the bitterest enemy. So these are, of course, Krishna mentions that in Bhagavad Gita, one of the qualities of the divine personality. And Vasudev, he's so qualified that Krishna, of course, we see that the devotees, just like Krishna requests Arjuna, nimitta matra bhava savya sachan, that you just become my instrument. So the devotee, he becomes the instrument for the Lord's activities like that. But it's not that the devotee is simply a machine, mechanically doing all these things. He's very conscientious. He does these with full consciousness that this is for the pleasure of Krishna. And Krishna, in this way, he gives the devotees instruction. That's mentioned in Bhagavad Gita also, of course, that's tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam purtipurvakam tadami buddhi yogam tam, that buddhi yogam tadami, I give him tadami buddhi yogam tam yenamamupi antite, that I give them instructions how to come to me like that. So Krishna is so kind to his devotees in this way that he personally instructs them how to get out of this material world and come back home, back to Godhead. And sometimes when Krishna acts otherwise like that, just like the Bhagavad Gita was spoken to Arjuna, it's not that Arjuna had to hear from Krishna this Bhagavad Gita, but that Krishna, he spoke to Arjuna for the benefit of us, very nice example that I like to that Srila Prabhupada mentions, that he says that the mother teaches the daughter-in-law by teaching her daughter. This way, the devotee, the Supreme Lord teaches the world by the instructing his devotee like that. So this way. That verse, of course, is also there, that Krishna is so kind that he's given us these Vedic literatures, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, in order to purify us. And we should take great care in studying these activities of the great personalities, Mahabhagas. Was it Narad Muni's also described like that, Ato Mahabhaga, Bhavana Mogadrik. Is that Vyasadeva? No, Vyasadeva is speaking to Narada. No. Ah, well, yes. Yes, of course. They're all Mahabhagas. So that we have the opportunity to associate these great souls through the pages of reading Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is our great fortune that we should discuss Srimad Bhagavatam in the Association of Devotees. So I'll stop there if anyone has any comments or questions. Yes, Prabhu. Shesha Prabhu.
Actually, thank you, Pandarik Prabhu. Well, I know that you lived in India for a long time, and you were mentioning in the beginning of the class about how Prabhupada said that how the women were so protected and revered.
Yeah. Like
that. Well, I would just be interested in your opinion, and how has it happened that now, I mean, I read an article recently that was forwarded to me by ISKCON News, that India is one of the places in the world where women are protected the least First is Afghanistan. Second is the Congo. Third is India, in terms of protection of women in all ways in that those societies. I wonder if you have some opinion of how has this happened, fallen from the Vedic age till this age.
Well, first of all, that's India. In India, you find there's all classes of personalities are there even today. That you'll get. I think it's mentioned. It's also mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada mentions that day. In India, one takes birth exactly according to his karma. So you'll get from the lowest class, lowest chandalas, up to the highest class of cultured personalities. So it's not that none of the women are protected like that. It's of course, it's a generalization, and it's, of course, has some truth to it, of course, that there's so many so many instances of dowry deaths like that even today. We've seen in the newspapers sometimes that we were, when we were there, that the mother-in-law and the son, the husband, killed their daughter-in-law like that, just because she didn't bring enough dowry, even though dowry is outlawed. There's some discussion of dowries the other day. But yes, it's a very unfortunate situation. Of course, the root cause of that is, of course, the Vedic civilization is so much corrupted in India from what it is meant to be, that the beginning of this degradation came in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam when Sringi cursed Maharaj Parikshit like that. The Brahmins, they let this degradation come in like that. One is a Brahmin by birth like that. So this is nowhere found in the Vedic scriptures. This is not the qualification of a Brahmin by birth. Srila Prabhupada so many times gave example. One cannot become a doctor or a lawyer by birth, but he has to become qualified. So similarly, a Brahmin, one cannot be considered a Brahmin simply by his birth, but this is the situation nowadays, and therefore the Brahmin class is no longer qualified to give proper guidance to society because they're not qualified themselves how they can give proper guidance to society. And in this way, everything has become, because Brahmanas are considered the head of society, and if the head has become crazy, then how can the other limbs of the body function properly? So this is the mission of Srila Prabhupada. Actually, Srila Prabhupada wanted that a class of qualified Brahmins class of people become trained up as qualified Brahmanas, in order to set a proper example for society. Of course, we have enough difficulty like that performing such an activity. We're not have, because of our training, our in our younger days like that, there are so many disqualifications we have like that. But we should have faith in Krishna's words that Kshipram Bhavati Dharma, that eventually from impurity this purity can come. And in the meantime, we simply have to. At least my perception of the situation in India, that there's so many places, so many families, women are very nicely protected and respected like that. So many families we've seen like that there. But this situation is not very good. Mr. Dharmesh Prabhu.
I'm not sure if I'll be contending Shesha Prabhu's question or maybe the angle of vision that one can see, like with the world senses of how they, you know, how they perceive. If you not exactly sure also what's the situation in India in particular in this case, but if you look at from a different angle, like in America, you know, I would say that women are least protected. Yeah.
Yes, there's different perceptions.
Right. So
of
there
what
seems to be like different
means.
Angles. Right. Because you may have protection as against the misconception of independence, as against abuse, and like there's so many different angles that
yes.
you can think about it. So just thought I want to.
Yes,
share
that's
that
a that's
you.
A good point that there's different angles of perception of what protection means and et cetera like that. But anyway, there's no excuse, of course, for the offenses that are undertaken in the name of and that go on in either society, of course. Anything else? All right, Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.